Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are and whatever part of the day you're in. Sure do appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your time and attention, a piece of your day. I will try and use it wisely. Hopefully it gives y'all something to look forward to. Something to get you through changing diapers or laundry or dishes, taking a walk, driving up and down the road, running errands, ferrying kids from one place to the next, or if you're a kid yourself, studying, maybe a break from that. Hopefully it builds us a little bit of community. Hopefully it strengthens us and our faith, and hopefully it helps our country just a little bit. For those of y'all that continue to share the podcast and tell others about it, thank you so much. I'm very grateful for that. Not a lot on the homestead. I'm afraid I went out and looked at our apple trees from last year. I thought we had gotten three of them through the summer and the dry days, but all the other trees are leafed out, and they're not. So we'll see. It doesn't look good, sadly. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for those who have gone before us and left us a little bit of light to follow the path to you and your Son. Forgive us our sins, our pride, our greed, our selfishness, our judgment of others, rash words and actions, cowardice, unbelief. We do believe, Father. Help us to overcome our unbelief. Guide our steps. Be with our nation. Be with our leaders. Those who defend us and protect us, be with them. Bring them home safe to their families. Help us to turn back to you each day, Father. Strengthen our marriages across the nation. Strengthen our families. Help us to follow the roles and responsibilities you've laid out for us as men and women, in marriage, sex, raising children, how we should function in society, Lord. Across the board, help us to turn to you. And guide my words here, Father, please. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Got a few quotes today. Let's see what we get through. Benjamin Rush, communicating with Thomas Jefferson. The two pretty bright minds there in different ways. Wrote a letter in which he said, "I have always considered Christianity as the strong ground of republicanism. The spirit is opposed not only to the splendor, but even to the very forms of monarchy, and many of its precepts have for their objects republican liberty and equality, as well as simplicity, integrity, and economy in government. It is only necessary for republicanism to ally itself to the Christian religion to overturn all the corrupted political and religious institutions in the world." Everyday quote, ought to be. I haven't done a very good job keeping up with that podcast. I think perhaps it was just not, I need to find a better format. Dr. Rush here, what he's saying though is evident today for any of us that want to look around. The reason that our republic is crumbling is because we have rejected Christ. And it's really important to note it's not because we have rejected a particular denomination, a particular institution. And that's why, if you really know anything at all, even just a little bit about the First Amendment, you realize our founders wrote that not to lower Christianity to the level of all the other false religions out there, or to make the state indifferent to Christianity. Justice Story, one of our preeminent Supreme Court justices that wrote commentaries on the Constitution, talked about that, the fact that the founding generation as a whole, not just the elites, not just the poor, but across the board, wanted the state to support Christianity just so long as it didn't infringe upon the religious freedom of individuals. It's one of the reasons why education, why our founders believed our education should be based on the Bible. We've talked about Fisher Ames, Benjamin Rush, a number of others. Having a public education system is necessary for a republic. You need a learned population with at least a basic level of intellectual slash academic understanding. In a Christian republic, the way ours was founded, as President Woodrow Wilson noted, regardless of whether you like Wilson or not, you have to have public education, the education of our children, be such that it strengthens the nation. That's true of any organization. If you want a good car company, how do you make better cars? You educate your employees, particularly in building cars. You improve their capabilities, mechanical, academic, design, whatever it is. Any country in the world, whatever it's based on, and ours, as Patrick Henry said, is based on the gospel of Christ. You have to teach your young, and that's true whether you're talking about really children folks or whether you're talking like in the military. One of the things that made the Marine, used to make the Marine Corps so great, is that we taught all of our Marines about the Marine Corps. We taught them the history of the Marine Corps. We used to do a better job of it, a lot better. But that was one of the things that made the Marine Corps so strong. We don't do that as a nation. We don't teach our children the history and heritage, both the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so it's no wonder that we're falling apart. And for those of y'all that are out there trying to find people to listen to, it may not be me, and that's fine. First and foremost, above all else, it ought to be God and Jesus Christ. Even if you don't claim Jesus Christ for your Savior, folks, you're not going to find any better morals, principles, instruction than Jesus Christ. In fact, any really good instruction that you find in any other institution or system across the world, it's going to follow those principles of Christ. We talk about that often on the podcast. You can't do something good without following Christ, just like you can't do something bad without going against Christ. It's true regardless of your ethnicity, race, gender, class, culture, background, geography. So whoever you find to listen to, particularly talking to Americans, but really across Western civilization, folks, if their solution to the problems that we have doesn't start first and foremost with turning back to God and Jesus Christ, you need to find somebody else to listen to. Doesn't have to be me. But if that's not where they start, they're just offering you, at the very best, they're offering you short-term solutions. And you can go back and just look at this. This last sentence here in these couple paragraphs from Dr. Benjamin Rush. It is only necessary for republicanism. They're talking about not the party, folks. They're talking about republicanism as a form of government, by the way. It's only necessary for republicanism to ally itself to the Christian religion to overturn all the corrupted political and religious institutions in the world. You notice when he talks about corruption there, he doesn't just say political, but also religious. You look at a number of churches today, denominations, Catholics, Methodists, Protestants of different stripes. We've got a lot of corruption internally. President Woodrow Wilson, a nation that does not remember what it was yesterday, does not know what it is today, nor what it is trying to do. We are trying to do a futile thing if we do not know where we came from or what we have been about. Yeah, we definitely don't today, folks. We do a horrible job educating our children in where we came from, what we've been about, who we are. If you wanted one single thing and it wouldn't fix it, well, if you put God back in the center of it, it would eventually. It'd work through everything. But teaching the history, the truth of our nation to our children would start to see major changes in our country. I think we've got enough time. We've still got about half the podcast. We're going to try and get through this. This is a speech given, but I'm not real sure about that, folks, so don't hold me to it, by Teddy Roosevelt in 1917. We've read it, but it's been quite a while. The most perfect machinery of government will not keep us as a nation from destruction if there is not within us a soul. No abounding material prosperity shall avail us if our spiritual senses atrophy. The foes of our own household shall surely prevail against us unless there be in our people an inner life which finds its outward expression in a morality not very widely different from that preached by the seers and prophets of Judea when the grandeur that was Greece and the glory that was Rome still lay in the future. In his farewell address to his countrymen, Washington said, "Morality is a necessary spring of popular government. And let us, with caution, indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion." He's talking about Christianity, folks, no other. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason, and experience, both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. He's saying no matter how smart we are, right? No matter how great our education system is, if we don't have morality based on Christianity, we're foolish to expect our national morality, right? If we don't have Christianity, to expect our morals to continue. It's the fallacy of fiscally conservative but socially liberal. His words were given expression when the European movement, with which the American people were in most complete sympathy, the French Revolution, had endeavored to destroy the abuses of priestcraft and bigotry by abolishing not only Christianity, but religion. The result was a cynical disregard of morality and a carnival of cruelty and bigotry committed in the name of reason and liberty, which equaled anything ever done. I'm gonna murder this, folks, I'm sorry. By Torquemada and the fanatics of the Inquisition in the name of religion and order. Washington wished his fellow countrymen to walk clear of such folly and iniquity. As in all cases where he dealt with continuing causes, his words are as well worth pondering now as when they were written. In this actual world, a churchless community, a community where men have abandoned and scoff at or ignore their Christian duties, is a community on the rapid downgrade. It is perfectly true that occasional individuals or families may have nothing to do with church or with religious practices and observances, and yet maintain the highest standard of spirituality and of ethical obligation. But this does not affect the case in the world as it is now, any more than that exceptional men and women under exceptional conditions have disregarded the marriage tie without moral harm to themselves interferes with the larger fact that such disregard, if at all common, means the complete moral disintegration of the body politic. I love that last part. I really like all of this almost. But he's saying, look, just because a few really spectacular individuals ignore Christianity here and seem from the outside not to harm themselves, which isn't true. I disagree with that part wholeheartedly. But seem to, appear to, and that's often the case. Often we look around and we think we see people that are really famous or really rich that don't have anything to do with God and Jesus Christ, that they somehow still have really high standards. I would argue that not many of us think they have really high standards, but maybe we do. Maybe a lot of people do. But we think they're successful, right? And he's saying, that's no more true than finding one person that committed adultery and still managed to survive, that disregarded the marriage ties and still managed to survive, and saying that society can, if as a whole, we all start to disregard our marriage vows. And you can see that real clearly today, folks. We have some people in our history that did a pretty phenomenal job leading and could have done it even better had they not gone down this path, but did a phenomenal job leading and were not faithful in their marriage vows. And yet look at us today, look at the divorce rate, right? First marriage divorce rate's up around 50%. Even in the church, the number's pretty high. It's pretty close to that, I think. Might be in the 30s. I'm not real sure. I haven't looked it up in a while. But it's not low. Look at what's happening to the country. Look at what's happening to our children due to broken marriages, broken families. Read this, or listen, I'll read it, to the sentence again. In this actual world, right? A lot of people want to talk about the real world. You know, you always hear that argument with teaching children abstinence. Well, that's not realistic. That doesn't work in the real world, which is not true. Perhaps, maybe, instead of teaching them to run off and spend years and years in college, we ought to have them get married younger. They used to. The point is, he's saying, in this real world, actual world, a churchless community, a community where men have abandoned and scoff at or ignore their Christian duties, is a community on the rapid downgrade. What are your Christian duties? What are the greatest two commands as Christ taught? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbors as yourself. He said everything hangs on this. All the law, all the prophets, on those two commands. We have certain roles and responsibilities as men and women. We have the commands of Christ to follow and how we interact with others. But we've been ignoring those, rejecting, abandoning, and scoffing at those more and more over the past several decades. And what do we see? We see that President Roosevelt was absolutely right. We are a community, a nation, on the rapid downgrade. So how do you turn it around? You do the opposite. God bless y'all. God bless your families. God bless your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.